It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies be line with a death wish. Be right, didn't have no name on a guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
With Lazy J. He wants to talk some NBA. What's up, Lazy J?
Hey, Dale, what's going on, brother? How you doing? You going golfing after this, man? I was watching the YouTube channel earlier, man. Why you going golfing, man? You got some golfing clothes.
I'm not going golfing.
No, it's Black History Month, right?
What's that got to do with anything? Black people don't golf?
I mean, they do, but I mean, you know, the type of clothes you got on.
I'm not golfing. Sorry,
cultured.
I don't have a Ronaldo Juventus jersey to wear. Sorry.
I got you. But now I wanted to get into talking about the Rockets, man. I just wanted to get your thoughts on, Ime, during the offseason, that James Harden, he should go somewhere else when he doesn't want him. Maybe going back on that statement, James Harden, I think, would do good for the Rockets. They need a point guard that can drive to the basket and finish and assist. And there's a couple of players this offseason. You think they'll go after Kyrie? We need a point guard. Maybe we can trade Van Fleet for somebody in the offseason or maybe get a big splash and maybe go after the Sixers center, Embiid. What's your thoughts on that? And then one other thing, man, I know that you turning 40 this year, right?
Sure.
Okay, I'm turning 40 this year, too. So, hey, man, I know you saw LeBron yesterday. 40 is a new 20, baby. I know you saw it. 40-foot threes and stuff like that. But Ronaldo, man, just one little small thing on Ronaldo. They had a statue for him for his birthday 2 days ago. Is that the unveiling for him coming to the MLS? This is his last season in the Saudi League. Maybe that's a little, push MLS. Messi's all washed, so Ronaldo, yeah. Baby. Y'all have a good weekend.
Yeah. First thing I would say is I don't know what this wee stuff the Rockets is from you. You are a LeBron fan. You follow him
stay
wherever.
Stay on that side.
Yeah, as Ja would tell you, stay on that side. I don't know what this wee for the Rockets stuff is.
Maybe he's like, they got rid of my boy Anthony Davis. I'm out.
No, you heard him.
Oh, okay.
You just heard him. It's still big up in LeBron. Yes, LeBron had a great night last night as the Lakers took care of the Warriors. Okay, let's get to his Rockets stuff. No, I don't think Ime is regretting the James Harden thing.
Oh, can I just bring something up with James Harden?
Sure.
All-star James Harden.
Of course.
He's shooting 39.5% from the field.
Yeah, I don't know.
And 34% from three. Do you know what one Frederick Van Vliet is shooting?
You want to tell the people?
38.7%. So 1% worse, and they're shooting exactly the same from three.
I saw James Harden's numbers. I looked them up when he was voted to the All-Star team. I thought to myself, wait
Norm
a minute.
Norm Powell snubbed.
I was like,
that's
wait
what
a minute.
I thought.
This is all about his assists because he's shooting terribly. What are we doing? Why is he an All-Star? The Clippers are fine as a team. They're not great. I guess they thought they needed a representative, and James Harden has a big enough name. They're currently the seventh seed right now. The Wolves jump them after they beat the Rockets last night. But this is a poor shooting distributor of the basketball.
Yeah, but also,
what is this? It's not 1985. Why are we giving him an All-Star nod?
Also, 8.4 assists to 4.5 turnovers.
He's not even 2-1.
Fred VanVleet.
Is he? No.
No, it's not. Fred VanVleet is 5.6 assists to 1.6 turnovers.
So James Harden is shooting poorly, not even 2-1, to turn the ball over, and he gets an all-star appearance. It's got
And meanwhile, Fred VanVleet is, hey, get this UPS driver off my team.
He is more expensive than James Harden.
Is it?
I believe is really? So. Is James making 40-something a year? I know that's what Fred's making. That might be the
if
only.
He is, I mean, it's the last year on because he got extended when he got traded.
And no, it's 35 a year. I
oh,
think.
Bargain then.
So he is not. He's making less than Fred. So is James Harden worth $35 million per year for this Rockets team? No. Not this version of him. He's fine. All star. Just with the worst numbers of any of his all-star appearances ever. What else did he ask about? Embiid, the Sixers aren't trading Embiid. They're pot committed. They're going to go down with that ship. They would like to get off of Paul George if they could, I would imagine, but that's a new deal. A lot of money. Paul George has played, let's just say, uninspiring basketball this year for the Sixers. They're stuck, and the Rockets wouldn't be involved because the Sixers wouldn't let him be involved. And do you want Joel Embiid, the 30-plus-year-old center who's always hurt, who can't play back-to-backs? Is that what the Rockets are looking for?
Yeah.
Considering how much the Sixers, despite how compromised he is, would ask for? You want to bring that here? Like, how many years of Joel Embiid would you actually have that you would enjoy? How many years before it's over for him completely as a top-10 player?
Well, how many seasons do you think he probably has as a top-10 player? Let's say 3?
And how
plays,
many games per season is
I was
that going to be?
Plays
is he playing 55,
career,
60 games per season?
For his career, he plays half the game, so you're getting 1.5 games.
Really,
one and a half seasons
of him playing at a top 10 level.
Another 1.5 of him on
not,
the sideline.
Not even playing. Forget about not playing at a top 10 level. He just wouldn't be playing.
No. So,
so
yeah.
I would say, if we're talking about guys, we've talked about the Rockets and additions all year long, about who's on the timeline and who isn't. Joel Embiid's a great name. But mm-hmm. it makes little to no sense because you can't guarantee his health.
No.
And also, let's invite a non-playoff performer who's never beat a good team in the playoffs, who's never gotten past the second round. Let's bring him in as well.
Fred VanVleet has more big moments
it's true.
under his belt than
it's true.
against
in fact, he had big moments against that Sixers team that wasn't even really led by Embiid. I mean, he was there and he was a star, but Jimmy Butler was the...
And Tobias Harris, yeah. To me, it was Tobias Harris.
Of course, and Ben Simmons.
I would have extended Tobias Harris right after that series, too.
And yet?
Tobias Harris over me?
Well, now it's Andrew Wiggins over you.
Wiggins over me?
In fact, yes, we'll give him your number, too, because he requested it. Andrew Wiggins requested 22, because that's the number he's worn throughout his career.
Is he getting it?
Yes, he is.
Oof.
He's getting 22. Oof. And the new story, as more slander comes out.
This is NBA Centel, right?
No, it was NBA Central. People thought it was Centel, but it actually is Central. It's an aggregation from The Athletic. Apparently, Pat Riley cried in the meeting with Jimmy Butler. Now, I don't know if he brought up the deaths of the fathers because Jimmy Butler lost his dad last year. Pat Riley obviously has lost his dad earlier than that.
A couple years ago.
Yes, maybe more than that. But I don't know if he brought it up and cried about it or thinking of his dad and Jimmy Butler's dad dying made him cry. There's some wording that you can have to try to figure out. But apparently he cried in the press in the meeting with Jimmy Butler to try to meet Jimmy on an emotional level, on a human level, to try to work through these things to see if this could work out. He would stay. And according to sources who know of the meeting, likely Jimmy's people, because I don't think Pat Riley's letting it be known he's crying after a 1-on-1 meeting. Jimmy Butler thought the old man was unhinged and it made him want to get out even quicker.
Yeah, I could just imagine Jimmy Butler walking out of the meeting. You're like, look at that P word.
Now, Jimmy Butler will tell you he never talks to anyone. It all comes from other people, which is true, but these are people who a lot of people assume run with you and know your thoughts and are voicing those opinions. So it's from The Athletic, so it's an actually real publication, and NBA Central aggregated and pulled out the most salacious
I could not believe that.
Thoughts from it or info from it. And it turns out, according to sources, likely on the Jimmy Butler side, that is me making that editorialization, that Pat Riley cried and Jimmy thought he was unhinged, and that's why he had to go.
It's so funny because I don't think that makes Jimmy Butler look better.
No, it looks really petty, and now the whole thing has been petty, and it makes him look bad. Unless you are against the old white guy, so you think it makes him look bad. It depends on where you fall.
No, see, I'd like to think that I'm very even-handed when it comes to Pat Riley and Jimmy Butler.
Sure.
There's things I like about both guys. There's questions to be asked about both guys. This is absolutely insane stuff by Jimmy Butler to be like, this is why I knew the old man didn't have it. When he started crying like a bitch about our dead dads. Like,
what? I had to get out of here.
Old man's lost it.
Yeah.
Doesn't have it anymore. Have that MF-er in him. Yeah, he's crying.
Pat Riley has, even in his own words, softened. He says it's hard to trade the guys he's drafted. He doesn't like sending guys away anymore when he used to be like, anything it takes.
Yeah. He looks at Jaime Jaquez and he's like, man, 10 years ago, I would have shipped your ass out on the first thing smoking.
Your ass out for Malik Beasley. Now,
now I'm stuck with you.
Now I'll keep you because things are changing.
You remind me of my grandson.
Something like that. I love that Juan Wick nickname they gave you.
The merch?
Yeah.
You kidding me?
Awesome. So there it is. Since Lazy J brought up some NBA stuff, there is some NBA stuff there. The Rockets news in this mode of player transactions is they're looking into Ben Simmons. That is being reported. Chris Haynes, Brian Windhorst, both say the Rockets are interested in Ben Simmons. He's on the buyout market. They're not alone. Other playoff teams are interested in him too. I would say hopefully the Cavs and the Clippers convince Ben Simmons to play there. I don't want to watch Ben Simmons play basketball night after night. Just not the vibes I'm looking for. We have a couple more segments to go, but really only one more before we get to Michael Carroll. He'll tell you what you should or shouldn't watch this weekend. I'm sure the Super Bowl will be mentioned, but there are a lot of other things. Invincible Season 3 came out. I'm way behind. I'm still in Season 2. That's on Amazon Prime. We'll likely get a mention as we start to get into it. I do want to give you a chance to win something, though. We have tickets to the 50th annual fishing shows. We're going to give away a couple pairs now. So let's say caller 2 and 3 right now wins a pair of tickets to the 50th annual fishing show. It's February 12th through the 16th at George R. Brown Convention Center. Everything for the fishermen. All the new rods, reels and lures, factory reps will be there, guides from Alaska to South America, dozens of fully rigged boats and hundreds of kayaks, plus continuous clinics by expert fishermen covering salt and fresh water, and a kids clinic on Saturday and Sunday with giveaways. If you love to fish or you just want to learn about fishing, don't miss the 50th annual fishing show. Check out HoustonFishingShow.com. We're giving away two pairs of tickets right now. If you get in right now, you get a couple pairs of tickets to the 50th annual fishing show at George R. Brown Convention Center from the 12th through the 16th. So you can get in and get that right now. Thanks to the Houston Fishing Show. Check them out, HoustonFishingShow.com. Get your tickets today. Okay, we will get to a break here, and then we'll have some stuff about the Super Bowl. It's here. Pick the team you hate the least to root for. We'll talk about that when we come back. Looks like Sean's on the phone. So we'll take a beat here as Sean gets a couple winners in. So we'll talk about the Super Bowl. We heard from Ime Udoka, We heard from him in the first hour. He's not happy with his team. He called them soft. Not what you want to hear. I don't think the Rockets are soft. They tried to play like they weren't soft yesterday. But I think that soft word goes beyond just being tough. Make the tough plays. Get stops. Go rebound. That was a lot of the issues last night. And, oh, yeah, Anthony Edwards plays for the Minnesota Wolves. That's a problem for you, too. You don't have one of those guys. And it was readily apparent yesterday as the best player on the floor and one of the best players in basketball completely took over. So they got the Mavericks tomorrow. It's an afternoon game. The Mavericks looks like they're going to have Anthony Davis back, or at least they'll have him for his first game. Max Christie played for them last night. He played well. He was another of the acquisitions from the Lakers. It'll be an interesting environment for the Rockets to go into. That's a city that was less than thrilled about the trade. They do have a big win over Boston. How is that crowd going to react to the new guys and no Luka? Probably aren't going to boo the Mavericks because Nico Harrison won't be mentioned by the public address announcer. But The Rockets aren't going to have home court advantage. That's not what's going to happen. But I imagine the Maverick fans are going to be a little hesitant to get behind this team because of who they shipped out. So that'll be an interesting thing to watch tomorrow afternoon. Can the Rockets end their five-game losing streak in a weird vibe? It's just going to be weird, I think, tomorrow. But that doesn't matter. Take advantage of it. Go in your five-game losing streak because right now, as we've talked about, the seeding is slipping. And who knows? Ben Simmons may come in to help. Yes, I know. It sounds stupid. But there are playoff teams that want him, including the Houston Rockets. They're going to have a conversation today if it hasn't already happened. So we'll get the break here. You want to get in, you can. 713-780-3776. We got a couple seconds to go. We will be back.
The Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
Chiefs Eagles on Sunday. I said it earlier, I've never had a Super Bowl where my team was in it, so it's always pick a side that makes you feel less bad if they win for me. My entire life, what a sad existence, understood. But people here, unless you don't root for the local team, you've gone through it. You may hate the Chiefs, so you root against them. You may hate Philly in general, so you root against them. What do we do? I don't mind the Chiefs, they win three in a row. In fact, my only reason for rooting for them would be because I want Tom Brady's existence to be, he won't be wiped away, but I don't want to live a life where Tom Brady's the best quarterback in all of history. I'd rather have it be Patrick Mahomes. And I want it happening in real time, so all the Boston guys and the Tommy guys have to taste it. Have to realize your GOAT was a GOAT for, what, 8 years before it was handed over to someone else who was a contemporary at some point? So that's my interest. Do something Brady never did. Go get your third in a row. And maybe not officially take the mantle of best of all time, but get as close as you possibly can. And plus, what about me says I should root for the Eagles? Sean, do you have any reason to root for the Eagles other than they're not the Chiefs?
No, not really. I mean, Jalen Hurts.
Local.
Channel View, yeah.
Well, Charles Omenihu, Texas and a Texas guy and a Houston guy.
Yes. There's way more Texas guys on the Chiefs. You got Omenihu and Xavier Worthy.
Yeah.
Eagles. Got no one.
Is that reason enough?
No, not really. Honestly, I've kind of landed on the Chiefs would piss more people off, so I'm rooting for the Chiefs.
Schadenfreude. Okay.
Yeah. People. I just, if I've had to listen to them to cry for the last 3 weeks, give me some more of that. I don't want those people celebrating because they embarrass themselves.
It has been an embarrassing display for months. You're grown people, because it's not just men, women who have, they're football fans everywhere who have decided a Chiefs victory would be the worst thing that ever happened. Whether it be because their dislike for the team itself or the favorable officiating, and it led to Roger Goodell having to answer questions and telling the world, no, we're not. We don't send them out there to give calls to the Chiefs. And did you actually think that no matter what you asked, he was going to actually, good point. You know, the officials are favoring the Chiefs. We got to look at that. No, what are we doing? So everyone was so excited that Roger Goodell was actually going to have to answer questions. They prepare him like he's a president. You don't think they walk him through every scenario? They've got lawyers. They've got PR people, they walk him through every possible question that's going to get asked. It's the reason he never flubs anything. He doesn't give you anything because everything's treated like the State of the Union because it's the State of the Union for the NFL. Maybe not all the same preparation, but they have people. You're not going to catch him saying something that you can latch onto and go, see, we got him. So I never understood the anticipation that Roger Goodell was going to speak and was going to have to sit in front of the firing squad and answer questions. He was like, deflecting. He was never going to give you anything. But yet, it was the moment of the week. beyond, you know, trolling the Chiefs with questions from who's your favorite referee and other questions regarding that when they're asked, when they're talking to Mahomes and Kelsey.
Thank God for Nico Harrison.
I told you the NBA snatched the NFL's chain this week, and you should thank Nico Harrison for starting it.
Yeah.
The fact that we didn't have to focus on, well,
Media Day
and what was going to come out of it, perfect. Thank you.
Like, you even mentioned the Roger Goodell thing, and it's like, I don't even remember another thing he said. Like, I remember the obvious non-answer deflection and defense from the ref question. Like, I can't even tell you another thing he was asked. Not what he answered, just a thing that he, a topic he spoke about. I don't know, I don't remember any clips other than, like you said, the trolley questions at Kelsey and Mahomes about the referee. Like, I've just been able to not have to pay attention to any of this sideshow stuff, like the annoying sideshow stuff with the Super Bowl.
Same.
There's just ball only. You know, that's how I live my life.
I know.
Let's talk. Do you think the Eagles come out in too high? How did the Chiefs respond?
Well, I don't think Fangio's going to blitz very much. It's not really his style.
No, not his bag.
No, he's going
bad to... record though against the Chiefs as a coach. So maybe he wants to switch things up. I don't know.
Patrick Mahomes dominates him, no matter whether he's the head coach of Denver or DC someplace. The numbers came out. We had 5-star on who was passionately in favor, saying all the things lead to the Chiefs winning, and he's not going to go against history. Patrick Mahomes has never lost a playoff game indoors, or is he just 11-0 period? I forgot what the number is, but he's 11-0 period in indoor games. Andy Reid dominates Fangio. Mahomes dominates Fangio. They've never given up. They haven't given up a 100-yard rusher since like 2019.
Yeah, the Saquon stuff, like the prize picks on him is like 113.5. I'm like, that's so many yards.
Yes,
for a good defense.
Yes, like
maybe if you want to do the longest rush, maybe he pops one off.
Because Mixon went for 80 something in a couple of appearances in the playoffs against them, but didn't get to 100. So I kind of lean 5-star's way until, look, if I'm wrong and the Eagles win, cool, whatever. But show it to me. And I haven't been that impressed with the Eagles, even though they dominated the Commanders at home. I won't say they should have lost to the Rams because the Rams made a mistake. But there was a receiver coming open when the center turned the wrong way and left Jalen Carter free. That was like third down. They're probably a walk-in touchdown as long as Stafford throws an accurate ball. And then the Eagles have to come back late to see if they can win the game. And the Commanders game, I felt, yes, Saquon great. I felt like that Commanders team made far too many mistakes to really give me a good impression of how the Eagles were playing. They just turned the ball over too much.
Two first half fumbles, and I think one early in the third.
You're not going to win a game that way. So the Eagles, sure, give them credit for creating the turnovers, but I don't think they're a juggernaut either, despite what you might think of their talent advantage, because they just have dudes like Devontae, Jay Brown, Dallas Goedert. Yes, offensive line, understood. I don't think they're a juggernaut. As much as people talk about how the Chiefs haven't played great all year, despite what their record tells you they are. I haven't been impressed with the Eagles all year long. I think the Chiefs win. I don't know how they'll do it because I generally don't know how they pull out games. I kind of look at them all year and go, I don't know how you did that, but you did it. So I don't think it's going to stop now. I don't think the Eagles are the team to stop them from doing it. I just hope for a competitive game or an embarrassing game. Like, I don't want it to be like 31-17. It's either late and close or someone gets their ass kicked so the narratives and all the jokes can start to fly.
So I think it's most likely that the Chiefs win. I would pick the Chiefs. I do only think that the Chiefs can win close.
You don't think they can blow them out?
Yes, okay. But I do think that there's a world where the Eagles win by like 10. Or, you know, not a complete laugher, but they win by 2 scores.
Yeah, I could see that.
But I cannot see a world where the team I'm picking wins by 2 scores.
Which is funny, but
which
that's
is a very interesting place to find. But that's just how their season's gone. How, really, what?
How all their the Super Bowls have gone, except for the one they lost.
They've won.
Yeah. All the Super Bowls they've won have been dramatic endings. The one they lost, they got their ass kicked because they couldn't block the Bucs.
Yeah.
The question will be, can they block this Eagles front? I think they'll be okay there. Okay, we'll be joined by Michael Carroll when we come back. He'll tell you what you should or shouldn't watch. He's the host of Comicast, which you can hear on ESPN 975 and hear in podcast form pretty much wherever you listen to podcasts. He'll join us. He'll give us the goods on this weekend. We'll be back.
And action!
It's Friday, and so you're probably wondering, what am I going to watch this weekend? Besides all the sports, of course. If you're not sure if you should go to the theater or stay home and binge something, we got you covered on the Del Olalea Show. Time to talk about what you should be watching this weekend with Del Olalea, Sean Mapes, and some guy named Michael Carroll.
Michael Carroll is here with us, and we opened it up to questions last week, and we got Eric on, so we'll get to him. So if you want to ask Michael about something, I would say keep it to the topic, but it's Eric, so I don't know. 713-780-3776 is the number to do that. Art has a question. I'm not going to ask the second part of the question, Art.
But this is another one of those.
Yes, but I'll ask the first one, first okay. part. He asked, did you watch Emilia Perez?
No, I haven't seen Emilia Perez.
I noticed they were singing, and I was like, I'm out. I don't want to
know. Yeah, I've seen I don't know.
Yeah, it's controversial. Some people, it's got nominated for a lot. Some people don't believe it's that good of a movie. It has, who's in it? Zoe Saldana.
Zoe Saldana. We've got
Selena Gomez
as well. Yes, and Art, I'm not going to ask you that. I'm not going to ask the question about Carla Sofia Gascon. You can look up her name, and you'll know why Art wants me to ask a question of Michael about it. But I won't do it. Michael's the host of Comicast. They don't generally talk about the subjects Art wants to talk about. You can find that anywhere you listen to podcasts. This week, they talk quite a bit about the Fantastic Four trailer that came out.
Yes.
Cousin playing Thing.
Yes.
And they had a little meta thing where he was talking about ingredients. I think that was done purposefully. Because he's cousin.
I think you're right.
Because he's cousin
right.
from the bear. So before we get to Eric's question, your impression of our real first look at the Fantastic Four.
I thought it was a very good trailer to kind of set the tone of what we all had believed it to be, which is set in the 60s with this futuristic, but at the same time, like set in history type situation.
Like
where
an alternate version of.
It's an alternate universe,
universe
as well.
As well.
But it sets the stage for it to be, I kind of relate it to like Fallout. Fallout is takes place in like the 50s or 60s or whatever, at least how technology jumps ahead of time. This is very much technology has jumped by the 60s, and you still have that sort of feel where it's newish but not. But, I mean, from what we saw with The Thing, Sue Storm, Johnny, Mr. Fantastic, like all the aspects of what I was looking for with the Fantastic Four, the family focus that definitely wasn't present in the 2015 one. And you can make a case that it was present in the 2005 and 2007 ones, but I think they nailed it. It feels like it's pulled directly from the comics, which is nice. I thoroughly enjoyed the trailer. I'm very excited to see the movie when it comes out. The only like little nitpick, and it's not even a nitpick, it's just, I guess it caught me off guard, was Ebon's voice for Thing was
Did you think it was going to be more gravelly?
Not necessarily gravelly, but just a little deeper.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was just like, oh, that's his voice.
It is just cousin.
Yeah, it's just cousin, 100%. Yeah. Add a little zip, and that, you know, that's it. And
well, they've done that. They did it with, Korg, too? Was that his
character? Yeah, Korg was,
that's
just Taika Waititi.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you look at the CGI, you think it would be like two rocks rubbing against each other while they're talking, but it just is a person's voice inside.
And,
yeah.
And that one I get, like, because Taika was like, I want this big, giant, like, alien creature, but I just want it to have my, like, New Zealand-type voice or whatever. Like, okay, fine, I get it. And it's not, again, it's not, like, a bad thing. It's just like, oh, we're not going to, like, add some base level at all. That's fine.
Hopefully when he says...
Clobbering time.
Yeah, hopefully you'll
get it there. We'll
see. With your chest, Ebon.
Yeah.
We'll see. But like the special effects for Sue Storm's powers, I think, was really well done. A little surprised we didn't see Reed's powers, so I don't know if it's just they want to hold it for
probably. Or do you think the CGI is not
or
ready.
it may not be in the spot where they want to showcase it yet.
That was a topic of conversation, Reed's powers not being shown.
I don't think it's a big deal that it was shown, because I mentioned it on the podcast. There was one article that was like, oh, this is a huge red flag for the movie and it's gonna be bad. And it's like, all right, calm down,
relax.
It's
first look trailer.
It's a minute 38 trailer.
Yes.
And I mean, if anything, it shows us all the other aspects of Reed that we didn't really get in the previous versions. And also, it gives us a little tease to the whole multiverse angle as well.
Yeah, Vanessa Kirby, Pedro Pascal, you got Joseph Quinn, a lot of faces you would recognize, whether you just watch movies or particularly the things we like to watch.
And Michael Giacchino's score, who Michael Giacchino did the Batman score, and he directed the Werewolf by Night special presentation on Disney Plus. So it's looking good so far.
You can hear Michael's entire breakdown of the trailer on Comcast,
yes,
which you can hear, as I said, anywhere you generally listen to a podcast. And, of course, you can hear it on ESPN 975 from 8 to 9 on Wednesday, this upcoming Wednesday. Mm-hmm. Eric, you have a question for Michael Carroll. What's your question, Eric?
Hey, Michael. Yeah. How do you think Captain America is going to do with all the Anthony Mackie brouhaha, you know?
Yeah.
And also, why do you keep pushing the Batman, taking part Batman back and back on End of the Listen?
So I think the whole Captain America thing, which is what Anthony Mackie said at a – I forget
what it was. He was sitting down in front of a live audience.
He basically said something where it was like, Captain America's not just America. Like, I don't remember the exact quote, but it stirred up this whole thing. But, like, if you look at what even Chris Evans said back in 2011 or whatever, it's basically a similar vein in that Captain America, while he is Captain America, he is just... I think Chris Evans said it. He's just Captain Good, who happens to be red, white, and blue, wearing red, white, and blue, and from America and all that. Like, if you read the comics or just any sort of Captain America medium, he goes against the U.S. government a lot of times,
yep,
as we saw in the movie Civil War. He went up against the U.S. government. Like, he does his thing no matter what, and he stands for what he believes is good, and that doesn't necessarily align with America at all times. I think Anthony Mackie said it in a clunky way, but I don't think it'll hurt the movie. I think a bunch of people are still seeing it because it's Captain America, because it's Anthony Mackie.
Marvel, all those things.
Marvel, yeah. I don't think it'll necessarily hurt it.
And here's the quote. Captain America represents a lot of different things, and I don't think the term, you know, America should be one of those representations. It's about a man who keeps his word, who has honor, dignity, and integrity. Someone who is trustworthy and dependable. And you mentioned Chris Evans. Chris Evans said, I'm not trying to get too lost in the American side of it. This mm-hmm. isn't a flag-waving movie. It is red, white, and blue.
Mm-hmm.
But it just so happens that the character was created in America during wartime. I've said before in interviews, it feels more like he should be just called Captain Good. You know, he was created at a time when there was this undeniable evil, and this guy was kind of created to fight that evil. I think that everyone could agree that Nazis were bad, and he, Cap, just happens to wear the red, white, and blue. So, yes, yeah. different ways of saying it, but it's the same message.
Saying the same thing. And I think for the people that fueled that fire, we're just never going to see the movie in the first place.
For what appears to be obvious reasons.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I think if you're a Marvel fan, you're going to go see it no matter what. Like, yeah. I don't think it'll hurt it. The Batman Part 2, why it keeps getting delayed, is supposedly because James Gunn said that the script's not ready. And he doesn't green light projects until the scripts are done and ready to go, which this has been a topic of conversation on Comicast. Jong and I were kind of confused because that video that James Gunn released back in 2023, where he was like, we're going to do this one, like it was like 10 titles. Well, they haven't technically been greenlit. So technically we could not see all those necessarily those movies as of yet. Like Batman Brave and the Bold, we keep talking about, oh, it keeps getting delayed. Well, it hasn't even really been officially greenlit. So it may not even come to fruition necessarily.
So what are the ones you think are locked? The Supergirl movie?
Supergirl.
Did that started filming?
It just started production.
Okay, production.
So that obviously, obviously Superman is going to be this summer, July. You have the Lantern series that begins shooting very soon and probably is something that happens next year. But outside of that, I know there was talk of an Authority movie that's kind of up in the air. There was a like Themyscira set show that was similar in vein to Game of Thrones. I think that's up in the air right now because James Gunn is not trying to rush a bunch of projects. He's going to take his time, and supposedly it is because he wants scripts done before he can greenlight projects.
Okay. So that's for stuff in the future. You mentioned we talked about Captain America that comes out February 14th. The Gorge, Sean, the movie of this show from Apple TV, The Gorge comes out where...
Gonna get that free trial.
Where Anya Taylor-Joy and Miles Teller have to fight some evil down in a gorge, hence the name, and also fall in love across a gorge where they can't really speak to each other until they break all the rules and do that. So That's the movie that you can watch at home, and of course you can go see Captain America. But that's next week. What about this week, Michael, as far as theaters, and then we can move on to streaming at home?
I just thought of one other thing with the Batman thing.
Okay.
They also did green light and are going to start shooting a Clayface movie with
Mike Flanagan. Yeah.
And that's going to release around the time that Batman Part 2 is going to release. And so it just made sense to delay it, which sucks because I wanted Batman Part 2 sooner rather than later.
And if you know Mike Flanagan, he has that universe on, sort of a universe, but they're all like horror type shows on Netflix. Haunting of Bly Manor, Midnight Mass, The Haunting of Hill House. His latest was The Fall of House Usher. So if you like, Clayface. I don't know how they'll treat it. I don't know if they'll treat Clayface like they do in the Harley Quinn show. But
I don't think it's going to be like
but
that.
But with Mike Flanagan, it feels like it'll have a more serious tone.
Yeah,
I don't know if Clayface will be a thespian like he is.
No, I don't
like
think
he is in the Harley Quinn animated show. So Mike Flanagan has a more horror bent. We'll see how much of that showcases in Clayface.
And it's going to be like a mid-budget like type horror type film, which I like that whole premise. Theaters this weekend. I am shockingly going to suggest another horror movie for the third week in a row because that's honestly the best movie of the weekend at theaters. 85% right now on Rotten Tomatoes. Heart Eyes.
I've seen good reviews for that.
If you take Harry Met Sally but mixed it with Jason is the premise for this movie. And it delivers on laughs, gore, all the things you would expect from a horror, romantic, somewhat comedy, but also horror movie. So Hard Eyes is what I would recommend. The movie I was looking forward to, but the reviews are pretty bad for it. Love Hurts with Kiwi Kwan and Ariana DeBoe. Marshawn Lynch is in this movie. That's the one I was kind of leaning towards, but it's 22% on Rotten Tomatoes. And it's just the reviews are not pleasing for that movie. So I'm going to say pass on that. Check out Hard Eyes. There's also a bunch of limited releases that are very good. Bring Them Down with Barry Keoghan and Christopher Abbott. Jazzy, No Other Land. There's also Parasite re-release, which that's one of the best movies I've seen ever, I think, for me personally. So definitely check out the limited releases at your theaters. But wide releases, Hard Eyes is probably the way you want to go if you're a horror fan.
Yeah, you don't like the traditional Valentine's movie, date movie.
Yeah.
This is a little different. I mean, they have like mid-tier stars. I always try to give people a frame of reference, so if they don't know anything about the movie, at least they'll know the actors. Olivia Holt's in it. I mean, you would have seen her in things. She was a child star. Now I think she might be closer. She's about in her mid-20s, so she's obviously advancing past that. It's from what I can tell, it seems fine. I don't know if I would rush to the theater, but like Michael said, if you like horror and you don't want a strictly Valentine's type vibe in the movie, but you want to call it a date movie, convince whoever you want to take that's a date movie with the name Hard Eyes and then watch a slasher film in the middle of it.
Yeah, it's like a lot of movies that are releasing this Valentine's Day are not necessarily – or around Valentine's Day are not necessarily straight up romantic comedies or anything like that. They're romantic comedy but with a – subgenre mixed in, like this horror thing, like Love Hurts being an action comedy. It's interesting that we're getting all these different variations of the genre, but so far Hard Eyes seems to be where it's at if you want to go to theaters. But again, I would definitely check out some of those limited releases. Attack on Titan as well for anime fans. The Last Attack is out on February 10th, so if you want to go check that out. Streaming wise, it's I would say for people that listen to ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, it's going to be limited in what you want to watch. My pick would be Invincible Season 3, just debuted yesterday. Of course, that's the superhero show set on Prime Video that focuses on Mark Grayson, who is the character Invincible. He's the son of a superhero that turns out to be a terrible person. This is obviously picking up where season 2 left off with Mark further trying to deal with his Viltrumite heritage, but at the same time trying to be a human to protect regular everyday people, but still like he's learning how to be a superhero at the same time. Great animation, great story, great cast. J.K. Simmons, Sandra Oh, Walton Goggins. I mean, the cast is stacked. Steven Yeun as Mark Grayson. Currently season 3 is at 100% on Rotten Tomatoes by critics, 97% with audiences. I mean, that's the main thing. Of course, it's a bloody show. So if you're not into that, or you're not necessarily into superhero shows, maybe not, that's not your bag. But outside of that, it's a lot of like, just, I don't know. It's not great shows that I don't necessarily recommend.
Watch Apple. Your old favorites is yeah. what Michael's saying.
I, honestly, watch The Pit. Watch Paradise, watch things Severance, watch, you know, stuff that's out or catch up on. Of course, Super Bowl, you know, watch that, I guess.
Yeah, if you want.
Yeah, I guess. Want. I don't know. I don't know how many people are going to be watching that.
Yeah, just for the commercials.
Right? Yeah, really.
That's right. Or you can be like my mother, who's addicted to Netflix and is locked in a designated survivor right now.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
She is a binger beyond all bingers.
That's what we should throw in, the Dell's mom's yeah. pick of the week.
I ask her every week. It was Madam Secretary last week. This week, she's on Designated Survivor. I asked her. She says, I took a break to watch news, and I got right back to it. She went. I asked her. She said five episodes yesterday. So she's all in on Kiefer Sutherland. I don't even know if he makes it past season one. I just saw like episode two, and I was out. Not because it was bad. I just never got back to it. So I don't know if he's still in it, but it was a Kiefer Sutherland show, at least for a season. Yeah. I don't know how long he was part of it.
And it was like on ABC.
ABC.
I think at first, and then eventually switched to streaming at some
yeah.
point.
So. If you want to watch something a woman in her 70s loves, we've got Designated Survivor.
Is she going to try like The Diplomat or something like that?
She loves The Diplomat.
Oh, I called it.
She loves all the political stuff. Yeah, as you can tell, Madam Secretary, The Diplomat. Okay. All
so
that
she's
stuff.
Going to the theater to watch Captain America, Brave New World. It's a political thriller.
It is.
It's, yeah. That's true. I don't know how to explain the Red Hulk tour.
What's there to explain?
Well,
he gets angry. You know.
Why is Indiana Jones big and red? I don't know. Just watch. No
First
snakes.
Of all, it's Thunderbolt Ross.
Well, she's going to call him Indiana Jones. She's not going to call him Thunderbolt
He's
Ross.
He's taking up for...
It's either Harrison Ford or Indiana Jones. The only two names she's probably going to know
okay.
from that. Don't even think she'd call him Han Solo. I don't think she'd
do
that.
No, no, no. I get why she wouldn't.
Yeah.
I can see that.
Yeah. 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 So there it is. not a great week, but... There are things to watch. I watched another. I'm staying up with Paradise. Love it. I love that show.
Man, episode four.
Yeah.
Another thing where it's like, oh.
Yeah.
This is what we're doing with the show.
Yeah. I mean, the end of that and how that was set up, mm-hmm. wild. Of course, yeah. we are doing everything we can not to give it away. Just to tell you, the shocks, the twists, they're really good in this show.
It's
even
yeah.
the ones to the point where even if you're a long time movie or TV watcher, you can kind of look at the pull apart the threads of shows and kind of figure out what's going to happen. I did not see that one coming at
no yet. Not at all. Like I mean it keeps like it balances the human story, because I mean it is from the creator of This Is Us, so of course you're going to get those human moments, those human emotional moments, but at the same time there's these two big mysteries happening, and it keeps delivering on those fronts. And I mean, I'm hooked. I didn't see where episode four was going. And if you haven't watched it, watch episode one, and that'll tell you if you want to keep watching the
yep.
show. Don't look at a trailer. Don't read about it. Just watch episode one on Hulu and see if you want to pursue it.
Paradise.
That's what I told Jong. Like, just do that.
Yeah. If you're in after one, you're going to be in throughout, because they 100%. Keep it going. And if it's not for you, then it's not for you. But hang in there. There are major twists. One that, as Michael said, was kind of obvious from the promotional stuff, and then there's one big one that they kept hidden.
Yeah.
But either way,
the trailer, the mystery in the trailer is, I thought, was going to be the focus
of
the show.
Mystery of the show, yeah.
And it's not.
It's not at all. It's not at all. So it's deeper. There's levels to it, and you've got kind of this Machiavellian figure pulling the strings, which you wouldn't suspect from their exterior, excuse me, and mm-hmm. then you see things that showcase what this person's capable of as the series continues. So Paradise, I would fully recommend that show. As Michael told you, you can find it on Hulu. I don't know if it's airing on FX per week, or is it strictly a Hulu show?
It's a strictly Hulu.
Strictly Hulu show. Yeah. So you'll have to have the streaming service Hulu. Maybe you have the package with Disney Plus, and you get it that way. But that's how I watch it. But yeah, that one, while it's not new, it's the one to be locked in on
yeah.
right now.
I mean, yeah, if anything, catch up on what you've had on your watch list or anything like that. I was talking to Joe earlier. He just finished, I think he said he just finished Squid Game Season 2, and of course Squid Game Season 3 comes out later this year. So just catch up on your stuff ahead of the Super Bowl this weekend.
Yeah, and you know, if the game's a blowout and you don't care about commercials, got some extra time. Are you – I didn't even ask. You a Super Bowl party person? Or you, if you're going to take in the game, you're just watching at home?
No, I just – I just watched the Bill Burr clip where he talks about Super Bowl parties and how it's like a bunch of people – when you're trying to watch the game, you're trying to watch the game, but that's when they all talk.
Sure.
And then they just watch the commercials. It's like, yeah, I'm not doing that. I want to watch the game. So I typically am not a Super Bowl party person, unless they're like full on, like maybe football fans or something like that.
Sure.
But not like.
But not people who are using it as a meetup event.
Yeah, no. Yeah. I want to hear what's going on. I want to watch the game. I don't care about the kids. No offense. I don't care about
F
the family.
Kids, Michael Carroll says.
I don't care. I really don't care when I'm watching the game. That's what I'm just saying.
I'm not going to fight you on it because I'm the same way, no, Sean.
I agree.
Where are you?
I agree. I don't do Super Bowl party every year, but I'm probably one every 3 or 4 years. Sure, whatever. And yeah, you gotta go with real ball watchers. Like
yeah,
myself.
If you're gonna, yeah, exactly. Because like I don't care how work's going. I don't care about that project at work.
Michael,
no offense,
Michael. If you cut out me, the small talk is what
yeah.
Michael's saying.
No,
I don't hear
if
it.
You ask me on Saturday, I'll talk to you about
sure.
it. If you talk to me about it during the Super Bowl, I don't care. I could care less right now.
A new side
saying.
To Michael Carroll. I didn't know he had
I'm
it in
saying.
Him.
I have it. I have it 100%.
It's apparent.
It's
we know.
I just wanted to be clear.
Just let me watch the game and leave me alone. That's a perfect
all.
Approach.
That's all.
We can talk about whatever tomorrow. Except we can't because I'm done. Maybe Sean will talk to you about it tomorrow with the bullpen.
I will. No, actually, I won't. Ball only.
Wow. Yeah. If you don't want to talk about Super Bowl with the bullpen tomorrow, don't call in. But listen, they'd appreciate that.
Oh, there's probably going to be Rockets.
Yeah, of course. That's true.
But a lot of ball talk. Don't come at me with refs.
Maybe you'll break the news that Ben Simmons is a Rocket. We'll find out.
God, that'd be like, ooh.
Yeah. It's possible.
I don't want to be dramatic.
Not saying it's likely, but it is a possibility. We're done for the week. Michael Carroll, thank you. Host of Comicast.
Thank you.
You can find that wherever you listen to podcasts. And on Wednesday from 8 to 9 next week. Sean, thank you. Since we're done for the day, what does that mean?
Duval.
That's right, Liam Cohen, Duval. You know one place Liam Cohen likely won't be? In a Super Bowl. But we'll talk about that on Monday.